This program was paid for by Water of Life Church. From Water of Life Ministries in Plano, Texas, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is speaking through his servants to the world. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying today. Let us join Doyle Davidson and others of Water of Life, sowing the Word of God in spirit and in truth.
Hello, I'm Doyle Davidson, a servant and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, coming from Plano, Texas, ministering locally to the body of Christ in Dallas and Fort Worth, Texas, and sent by God to your house. I want to minister the gospel to you. The gospel is this: the word is nigh thee, even in your heart and in your mouth. It is the word of faith, which I preach. The word of faith which I preach, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We're going to be teaching today out of Hebrews 12. This is a kind of a special day. This teaching will be put on my website, and it will have, it'll always be there, and you can, there'll be directions on how you find it. But what we're talking about from Hebrews 12, first of all, we're going to teach you what caused Jesus to have to give up the ghost. They couldn't kill him, but they brought him to a place where he had to give up the ghost to the Father only when he wanted to or when it was right to give it up. The same thing is the way Jeremiah died. Witchcraft and wicked people brought Jesus down. We're going to read it. You'll see it. The same thing happened to Jeremiah. Tongues of fire set off from hell got Jesus, and tongues of fire set on hell got Terry by them. But God took Terry to heaven just like he did Jesus. Same way. But their evil brought him down. Also, I want to talk about my eyes and about the attack on me. Kathy D will be up here before long, and her and I will talk. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Notice sin, which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, Jesus, that endured such contradiction of sinners. Notice, contradiction of sinners against himself. The same thing happened to Terry By. The same thing. It's happened against me. It's just God has held me up. He took Jesus to hell and to heaven and seated right hand of the Father. He took Terry to heaven, and I'm still here. Lest, consider the contradiction of sinners against Jesus, consider him that endured. This is not silly, folks. This is the way sinners treat the servants of God. Endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, they should be wearied and bait in your minds. Verse 4. ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten. Notice Jesus resisted unto blood. He resisted your wickedness. I do the same. Terry Meyer gave it all he had. All he had. And your wickedness brought him down. Resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening or chastening of the Lord. Now, he compares what happened to Jesus with our walk. With our walk. And he says, don't despise the correction of the Lord. If you do, you won't make it. We're going to show you this. Despise not the correction of the Lord. Now, I'm talking to all of those of you that used to walk with me in this gospel and left me. You left because of your unbelief. You would not take the correction of the Lord. You didn't want to be corrected. Correction of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Bunch of you fainted when Jesus rebuked you through me. You didn't like it. You said I had an evil spirit. You lied about me. You lied a bunch about me because it was the Spirit of God in me talking to you. You didn't like it. And you named all kinds of wicked things that I did, and they're all lies, every one of them. Every one. And God will hold every one of you responsible for your lies. Now, don't faint when Jesus rebukes you and tells you you're not believing, that you're not believing through me. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, he correcteth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. That's all of us. Now, I'm making this plain. All of you that left this ministry, railed against me, said evil against me, all of you did it in unbelief. And I forgave you. It's up to God to deal with your wickedness. Whom he receiveth. Now, he scourgeth every one. Verse 7. If you endure chastening or correction, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father correcteth not? But if you be without correction, chastisement, correction, whereof all are partakers, that's all, then are you bastards and not sons. I've been accused of cursing you. All kinds of things. It's the Spirit of God that has talked to you and told you what you are. Now, are you bastards and not sons? Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? All have been taught that. I've been in this building 31 years, and everyone that attended heard it, and everyone that watched me on television heard it. Father of spirits and live. Be subjection, in subjection, to the Father of spirits and live. You know why some die? Because they rebel against God. Verse 10. That was Ananias and Sapphira. They lied in the middle of church. Well, they barely were a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. That's why God corrects you. We're prophet, his. Now, you're the ones being prophet. Now, no correction, no chastisement, for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Of course it is. That's what I taught you. That's what I taught you. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. While in peace with all men, in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. You know how, and afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. You have not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. They couldn't stand it. They could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you are come unto Mount Zion. And that's where I'm going to quit for the moment. Kathy D is going to come and join me. And we're going to talk about my afflictions that she is very aware of, right?
Very aware.
Amen. Kathy D came to my house January 2009, became my wife. God sent her, and he sent her at a time that I needed someone to drive me in an automobile.
Right?
Right. Now, that's not all she came for, but she did serve that purpose.
That's right.
And that doesn't depend on her, does it?
No.
That you're my shoulder. You see, God had everything in control. Terry Bye went to heaven unexpectedly on the, 26th of January, is that close?
Yes.
2009. God took him with a loud shout. He'd been afflicted by tongues of men and women set on fire from hell that caused lymphoma growing in him. And God said, your time is over. You have finished your course. And God took him to heaven. Certainly I wasn't expecting it. I know the Mayas weren't. Some of the rest of you hoped that he would go. He said, there you go. You hoped he'd go because you thought you got rid of him and you'd get me. You see, God uncovers your wickedness. But God was with me. Amen? So what do you want to say, Kathy D?
Well, we were talking earlier this morning.
Right.
And about your eyes. And I was here for a year. And in January of 2010, the Spirit of God spoke to me and took me to Galatians. And if you'll go there, chapter 4. He spoke to me on the 5th of January, and I held it to myself for a couple of days.
You were in my house for a year.
Right. I'd already been with you for a year.
Right.
Already drove most of the year.
You'd been here in this sanctuary 24 years.
Right.
Is that right?
Right.
All right. Go ahead.
And God led me to Galatians, and he wanted me to read something, and I'm going to read it to you, verse 15. And this is Paul talking to the people of Galatia. He said, "Where is then the blessedness you spoke of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you'd have plucked out your own eyes and had given them to me." Now, I had read that several times, but this time the Spirit of the Lord was quickening me and showed me this is what was going on with Doyle. I was living with him. I saw his eyes go. When I first came to the house, he was still driving, and they got worse and worse to where I took over the driving part and helped him with a lot of things. It got to the point that he couldn't even read, and I think that was in June. But God continued to minister to me, and he said, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" You know, this happened to Paul. The spirit, those spirits that were against Paul attacked him so much that he couldn't see. And you say, well, that doesn't say that. Turn to Psalm 6 for me. This is in the Psalms several places. If you will go to Psalm 6, verse 7. "Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxes old because of all my enemies." And if you will look those words up in Strong, consume means to waste away, to get weaker. And if you look up the word old, it means to weaken. If you look up the word waste, it means vexation. And the amazing thing is, if you look up the word enemies, it means those that bind you up, those that press on you, those that vex you, those that show hostility towards you. This is in Psalm 6, it's in Psalm 31, it's in Psalm 119. God was opening these things up to me. This is what is going on with your husband. And it helped a lot.
Helped me.
Yeah. That this is exactly what would happen to Paul. Obviously, the psalmist understood this. Now, if you go back to Galatians, we'll see what happened with Paul. And it's happening in our house. Galatians
4.
Well, we were at 4. We're going to go to 6.
Oh, you're going to 6.
We're going to 6.
Thank you. Pass. I'll be quiet, but not long.
No. And in Galatians 6:11, Paul, dealing with this, overcame it. And you can tell that in verse 11, he says, "You see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand." Now, this was a man that remarked that the people that loved him enough would have given their own eyes to them, which meant that Paul's eyes were very dim, that he couldn't see. And here it says, "I've written a letter with my own hand." And then in the last couple verses of verse 6, it says, 17, "From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." And there's one other verse I want to share with you that God showed me, and that is Colossians 1.
David Casperite's going to join us shortly, and we'll see what he's got to say, he and Kathy together, and myself.
And verse 24, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you." In other words, Paul was suffering for the people that were with him. "And to fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church." So here we have Paul, who was filling up the afflictions of Christ in his own flesh. And this is not persecution, this is affliction. There's two different things. And he was doing this for the body of Christ. And it's amazing. This is, you know, Paul was a prophet, and we have a prophet among us. And this is proof of his being a prophet, being an apostle, about him filling up the afflictions of the body of Christ. And you're coming out.
Me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You're overcoming. I remember last night at the grocery store, you said, "Wait a minute. I can see things that I haven't seen before."
That's right. It's real nice. I also am not seeing things that I have been seeing.
That's right.
Believe me. All right? David Casperite, are you here?
I'm here.
Come on up. Join us. Kathy, you can move over here. David, stay over there. What I want to make plain to everyone, 3 years ago, when Terry went to heaven, many said, that's the end of you and me. That's the end of this ministry. This ministry will fall. It cannot stand. Prior to that, people had said, you're going to die. Your ministry is going to come down. That's been going on since 05. In letters, postings on whatever, wherever they post, I don't know. And emails, words to me, to my face. It was amazing, the attack. But I wasn't bothered. When Terry went, I want to show you from here on with Kathy, God had need of her at my house to help me. David Gasparite was here, had need of David to help me. Paul Peters was here, I had need of Paul to help me. Kathy Mai was here. I had need of Kathy, and the Mai girls were here. I had need of them to help me. This ministry was never in trouble. Never in trouble.
Amen.
Amen.
And I saw the very worst days.
Yeah, well, you certainly did.
Yeah.
Amen. I asked you a question this morning, and we're going to go to David. Did you ever think I'd fall?
No, never did.
You never did?
No.
Did you think this ministry would fall apart and not exist?
No.
No?
No.
Good.
Well, and one of the reasons was it was producing fruit in me.
Whoa. Good reasoning. David, how about you? Did you ever think my ministry would fall, or that I would fall?
Never. Can't say I did.
Good. Can you tell me why? Tell them.
You want me to back up my work?
Why?
That's what they made me do in school.
I'm a teacher. Jesus in me is.
Well, amen. The first thing, when I heard you on television. And I heard you say you were an apostle. And I'd never heard anyone say that they were an apostle before. And I had to decide if that was true or not. And I could read in Revelation 2, where Jesus said to the church of Ephesus that you've tested those that claim to be apostles and found them false. So when I read that, I thought, I could do that if that's what we're supposed to do, test. And it is, that's everyone's job. In 1 John 4 says, test the spirits. Don't believe every spirit.
Amen.
It's your job. That's everyone's job. And so, at the direction of God, that's what I did after I first heard you. And I found that you're not a liar.
Helpful.
But it was God that led me to that conclusion. And if you haven't been led to that conclusion, then you're not held accountable as much as me. Until that's a decision you have to come to with the direction of God.
Amen.
And when I believed you were an apostle, there's two things that I just told you before we started that have gotten in my heart. And it's that you said that God told you he would put his spirit back in the church through you.
Amen.
And I believed you because I believe that's the words of God through an apostle's mouth. And then after that, you said, God said, there's nobody but you to do this job. Because I believed you're an apostle, I believe that was the words of God. And if you believe those two things, there's no way you could accept that this ministry would fall.
Amen. I agree. Very much so. Anything else you want to say?
Not unless you got another question.
I've got something to say.
Okay.
When Jerry went to heaven, after the date of his burial, the next morning, David had been here since 07 working at the ministry and been around since 03, I believe. I walked in, David was here, said, you and I are going to run this ministry. I'm appointing you as a trustee. That's exactly what we did. Now, prior to that time, while Terry was still here, David would come up to me on occasion, not a lot. I don't need a lot. But he'd tell me what God had said to him. I'd say, "You're right on." You recall that?
Sure, several times.
God tested you in front of me.
Right.
Two things, you know that?
Right, yes.
That was great. So I had some confidence in him. I trusted because I'd heard him hear God. Just God would have him tell me. That always blessed me. And I said, "You and I are going to run this ministry. The Lord's going to run it through us. We're not going to be bothered. We'll never fail." I never was afraid that I'd fall.
That's
once.
Right.
Not once.
And when Terry was going to heaven, we weren't afraid.
No, you're right. None of us.
Well, and like you and I shared earlier, even last night, from the very beginning, you said, "The storm's coming. There will be a storm."
Kathy, Mike, would you come get your mic?
We just didn't know how long it would last. That's all.
Yeah, pretty good, David. We didn't know it was going to last 3 years, huh? There you are.
Hello.
Happens to be my daughter, Kathy Mai, Terry Mai's wife, mother of her three daughters. She's been with me all of her life, with the exception of 7 months. Well, I have fun with this. I was on a ship on my way to Japan, the South Pacific, when she was born. And I met her when she was 7 months old. But I heard a lot about you. Your mother wrote me a letter almost daily telling me what was going on with you. Anyway, were you ever afraid that this ministry would fall or that I would?
Never.
Never?
Never.
Can you tell me why?
Because I've been with you from the beginning. I've seen God require you to sell out and wholly submit your life to him. And I've never seen another man do it. And I watched God lead us through paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We went through our God. And I watched God let them sell our house. And I watched God give it back to you. I never saw God let them take one thing from you.
Right.
And I watched you go through a lawsuit, and I watched God change that judge.
In our God. Right.
I didn't see this, but I know the lawyer cried because of the judgment that took place in that courtroom.
Amen.
And you told him, "Be still."
Right.
And I saw God lead us in paths. I saw you walk through camps of preachers that tried to destroy you, that lied about you, that vicious attacks came against us. I saw God teach you how to walk by faith
right.
In the midst of it.
For sure.
I saw God tell you Psalm 91, because you had set your love upon him, he would be with you. He would deliver you. He would set you on high. He would be with you in trouble.
Trouble, for sure.
And I watched you go through trouble.
Right.
I watched God bring us out triumphant in our God. I watched God sell property that people thought could never sell.
Not at that price.
Not at that price.
Amen.
I watched God take 2 acres and give you a Cadillac that was left on that. And I heard God tell you, or you told me, he said it, and I believe it. I'd have given you a new one if you'd have asked me.
Right.
I watched a man that gave everything he had for the pearl of great price. I walked it with him. I didn't have to read a book about somebody. I lived with a man that was an example of what you do. We came to Plano. God gave us Terry, sent
right.
us to the Methodist Church.
Amen.
And God told you, can I say one more thing?
Sure,
Argo?
Come on.
One day, Dad got on my bicycle, rode up on a hill, prayed about me, committed my life to God, about a marriage. God told you that man was not from Texas. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Later, God told him he'd be in the Methodist church when we got there.
Amen.
God gave us Terry.
Amen.
He gave him to you. I was blessed because of that. Never once.
We both were.
We were both blessed. Never once will you hear me criticize the man. He was a man. He didn't think he was anybody. But I saw him take what you taught and put it to work. Did he have unbelief? He'd tell you. He was the first to tell you. But he would walk. He'd work it out. And he'd walk it. So when we came to Plano, there came a point where they tried to take this building from us.
Oh, yeah.
Can I say it all?
Oh, tell it.
Daddy wanted to give it away.
I wanted to.
He wanted to give it away. God would not let him. He would not let him. So when Terry went to heaven, there was no thought in my heart we wouldn't make it. And this isn't pride, but I thought if nobody else does, we will. And God, there was just something in me. We had to fight, and we did. And so there was never a thought of this ministry was going to go down. You know, God's word said he will make his servants stand. I had seen all that all those years. I had seen things others hadn't seen. Now y'all seen things, but at that time, I had seen other things others hadn't seen. The last verse of Jude. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to make you stand blameless and faultless.
Amen.
You know?
Sure.
Those things were in my heart ministered by the Spirit from you. So I never questioned that we would come out. It was prophesied the power of darkness would hit this place. When it was prophesied, I was sitting right over here. I humbled my heart before God and I said, Lord, you said perhaps even Ralph and Kathy.
That's what I said.
Would betray me.
That's what I said.
And I humbled my heart before God and I said, Lord, I don't know what I'll do, but have mercy on me. Well, I stand here today because he had mercy on me. And God has made us stand.
Well, thank you. I've never been afraid that I'd be moved.
Amen.
Because of things God has said to me and things that God has done through me. So when people would talk, you know, I would be reminded of Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage?
That's a good one.
And the people imagine a vain thing. Who take counsel against God and his anointed. God will bring them to derision. Why would I be afraid? I've been through so many things.
Right.
By the time that it looked like, you know, the people were going to dance in the streets or somewhere.
Right.
Glory! Wasn't possible.
It wasn't possible.
Nuts.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, you know, I have more fun than most.
May I say one more thing?
Sure, you can talk. You can talk to six, but I got to go eat then.
When Terry and I went to heaven, a lot of you out there use that as an excuse for your unbelief.
Amen.
God is still in charge. That should not matter in your walk with God. And I pray that God will lead you to repent.
Amen.
Amen.
I changed order just a little.
Okay.
But you all got anything to say? David?
No.
Kathy?
You know, Kathy said, I was here also the night sitting right back there when you said the power of darkness is going to hit. And several years later, you were remarking about that, and it did hit. And you asked a couple of us in the congregation about were we surprised about what, I think it was during the Slosser trial. And you walked up to me and you said, you know, what do you think about all this? I said, well, you said it's going to happen. I mean, for those of us that believed it, we knew it was coming. And when God tells you it's coming, that's a blessing. That builds faith in your heart And like you said several weeks on the air that I thought was wonderful, you said this is a people that have been tried in the fire.
Amen.
And we have been. All of us have been. Even those in the congregation, we've been tried with fire. Our names have been put out as mud. I mean, we won't even get into it. But we've all been through the fire. Right. And we are still standing.
Oh, yeah.
And the same power that worked 10 years ago works even greater in us now.
For sure.
The names in the mud, that's the good part, though. I get rewards for that.
Amen. Glory. Well, I was never bothered. Never thought I'd go anywhere. Didn't. I do want to say what a blessing it is where God has brought us to today.
I agree.
There's some strength in this house.
Right.
Praising and worship. In the dance, in the song, in prayer, with the voice. Let me hear your voice, it says in the Song of Solomon. They could hear it all over the world. They could hear this.
Right.
All
over
the world.
And it produces.
Produces.
It's just not a wonderful sound. It produces. It produces the works.
Oh, yes. I talked to three people this afternoon before I got here on the phone. One was Bob Carpenter. I said, Bob, did you ever think I'd ball for my ministry with Ball? And he said, no. And I believe I'm telling the truth. You know, a lot of people say no, but they don't believe they're telling the truth.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Amen. I said to Terry, called Terry Brown, did you think my ministry is wrong? Well, no. You walk in the gospel.
Amen.
Pretty simple, huh?
Amen.
I called Courier, Catherine Courier. Right. Said, did you ever think I'd fall? Well, no. We're not going to fall. People with hearts like that,
Amen.
They're with me. Those others, I don't miss.
No.
They should repent and have an opportunity to walk in the gospel with me. I think that's all.
Okay.
I want Paul Peters to come. I want to talk with him. Do you have anything else?
You just prompted me. You know, Hebrews 3 says, take heed. Brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief.
Right.
Hebrews 4 goes on to say, we should fear lest that same thing could happen to us.
Oh, yeah.
Because that gospel didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith.
Right.
And Kathy was talking about we've profited. We've mixed our faith with that gospel.
Sure.
And it's profited us.
Amen.
Here comes Paul.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Paul Peters. He's too tall to be here, but I'm going to let him here. I have talked to Paul, and he just had a birthday. He's 19. He was 15 when Terry went to heaven, and he just started singing Terry's songs. I've talked to him about it this very day, and he said, well, no, I grew up under this ministry. In this ministry, I heard Terry all those years sing, right?
Right.
Lead worship. I should let you say what you want to say.
Well, that was pretty much it right there. But I remember a specific thing when I was sitting back there, about seven rows back, and Terry was leading worship, and I heard, you're going to be up there one day.
Well, thank God.
I believe that was God that said that to me.
You heard God.
Yep.
You know, what I know is you were right here. God was preparing your heart through the Spirit, through Terry, to do the job. When Terry left, it bothered me an hour or two. And I said, you don't have time to be bothered. Gird up your loins, you know. And that's what I did. The next thing I did, I heard him singing at Terry's visitation. I didn't know he could sing, but I heard a voice. I said to Kathy D, that's Paul Peters. Here he is. Now, he is leading the worship and praise of Water of Life Ministries. 19 years of age. Good age. I won't tell you what I did when I was 19, but I ran my dad's business when I was 17. He's going to sing. Walk with him? Or walk with me, yeah, Jesus. Amen. After that, the boys will come up and join you. Y'all do whatever you want to do. All right? Thank you.
Let me learn.
thank God for all of you that were tuned in today on live stream, all that were here, all that participated in this broadcast. I want to just say, give God the praise and glory. We're back now, or we're on 15 radio stations Sunday morning with our broadcast. It's the mercy of God, faithfulness of God to His servants. And I just thank Him for upholding me and watch us go on ministering this power that raised Jesus from the dead. God bless you.
We invite you to visit Water of Life Church at 1621 18th Street in Plano, Texas. Or for further information, call area code 972-578-8082. That's 972-578-8082. Or write Doyle Davidson, Post Office Box 861327, Plano, Texas 75086. That's Doyle Davidson, Post Office Box 861327, Plano, Texas 75086. This program was paid for by Water of Life Church.